seated. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hello, everybody. This is my first time teaching here, and before I was feeling a little nervous. Just a few practical things. I usually teach sitting down. I'm standing up now. I usually see different faces. Now I'm seeing your face. And I had a little bit of stomach turning. And then Shelley gave forth a word of prophecy. And in it, God reminded us that Jesus Christ is the complete Savior. And knowing that Shelley has no idea what I was going to teach on, that was very comforting. Because today I'm going to talk to you about the complete Savior, Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest," Jesus Christ is not an high priest, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as who? We. Yet without sin." This verse 15 tells us a great truth. Jesus Christ was the perfect man, the perfect Savior. He faced life head on and yet without sin. He didn't screw it up. Now, you could say, well, maybe he just went and camped out somewhere and didn't have to face anything. Maybe he locked himself in a monastery and ate bread and went to sleep and read his Bible. So he never had to face any temptation. But the Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we. Jesus Christ faced life head on. He faced the challenges that you and I go through. He faced life at the fullest point, to where it comes to him and challenges him. But yet, he conquered it without sin. He faced life head on and proved that God's word works in every situation. And he's our great example. Now, you could say, well, Jesus Christ lived on earth about 2,000 years ago. Different pressures, different temptations, different life. He never had to face rush hour traffic when somebody cuts you off. Well, is that what it's talking about? No. But Jesus Christ faced the circumstances of life, the same ones we go through, the same feelings we have, the same situations we go through, family troubles, emotional distresses. Jesus Christ faced it head on, and he overcame and showed that God's word works in every situation. Well, the Bible gives us some highlights, and I wanted to go through them to see what Jesus Christ went through, see if we can't relate to this. Luke chapter 4, often called the temptations of Christ. So, if we're going to start looking at his temptations, let's start there. Gospel of Luke. For a little brief background, Jesus Christ had just been baptized before this record, just started his ministry, and a voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So God declared by a voice from heaven that this is my beloved Son. And that'll be important. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 4. And in verse 1 it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So he had just been baptized, now he's going out into the wilderness. "Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him," look at this, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, just before this, God had said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He declared, "This, Jesus Christ, is my Son." And now the temptation comes, "If thou be the Son of God." A questioning of what Jesus Christ believed. A questioning of his faith in what God had said. Does anyone relate to that? Does anyone understand that people question what you believe? If you believe that God really did say what he did about you, will people question that? Will they bring it up and say, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread"? Another side point of this, Jesus Christ hadn't eaten in 40 days. That might have been a pretty strong temptation too. I know if I miss a meal, I'm pretty hungry and get kind of cranky and you don't always think straight. But Jesus Christ here, let's see what he said. "And Jesus answered him," the devil, "saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he responds with the word of God. And the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, showing unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. We'll notice here, Jesus Christ doesn't say you're lying. You don't really have all this power. This isn't really yours. But what does he say? If thou therefore wilt, verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me and shall be, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, the devil has never offered me the entire world to fall down and worship him, saying, I will make Joey Seed king of all the world if you just forsake your God and worship me, Satan. But doesn't the devil throw minor things our way? Parts of the world he gives, offers to us, like, just enjoy this pleasure of sin for a little while. Look how great it'll be. Look at all the great pleasures it'll have. Just forsake God for a little bit, and you're going to have this great happiness tonight. You guys can fill in the blank of what that might be. Maybe it's different things to each of you. But Jesus Christ faced that temptation in spades. He faced it in full. The devil offered him the whole ball of wax, the whole thing. Never offered that to me, but Jesus Christ faced a greater temptation than I've ever gone through. And he faced it, and he answered it with the word of God. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, again questioning Jesus Christ and who he is, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give thee angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Again, sometimes people tempt you with the word of God. Didn't the Bible say that the earth is only 6,000 years old? Didn't the Bible say that X, Y, and Z? Didn't the Bible deny evolution? Didn't the X, Y, and Z? I go to college, I hear these things often. But people will say, the Bible says so. Therefore, your faith is wrong. Have you ever heard that? I have. But Jesus Christ faced that circumstance and overcame. Verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the Bible is the answer for this temptation. Again, the Bible, the word of God, is what we put up against what people question our believing. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's look at John chapter 11. You see, Jesus Christ was tempted himself by the devil. The devil offered him things, questioned him, questioned who he was. Now, that's one type of circumstance you could go through. Somebody personally tempting, personally attacking you. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm strong enough for that. I can face it when temptations or trials or tribulations come my way because I believe in God. And God will back me up when I stand on his word. Great attitude to have. Keep it up. Sometimes it can be harder than that. Sometimes things can happen to other people, people we care about, people we love. Sometimes we feel powerless to do anything. It's not even at me anymore. It's a sideways attack where somebody we love is now hurting. Somebody we love is now sick. Somebody we love is now dying. That can hurt us too and be a temptation. Jesus Christ faced that. John chapter 11 says in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Lazarus, we'll see, Jesus Christ is very close to. Therefore his sisters, verse 3, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and who? Lazarus. You see, Lazarus is close to Jesus Christ, and he's now sick. Do you know anybody who's sick? Do you know anybody who's hurting? Do you have anybody close to you who needs help? sometimes that can be tough, not only for them, but also for yourself. If you're going to be honest, you might think that sounds selfish, but it's true. People who you're close to can be in peril, and that can be tough on us. Jesus Christ faced the same situation. Verse 14, it gets worse than this. And Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You see, Lazarus died. Somebody who he loved, who he is close to, got sick and died. Now, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Lazarus had been dead and in a grave for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long, furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now Jesus isn't just facing his own personal grief with the death of Lazarus, but what about the family of Lazarus? Those whom he's also close to are now going through pain. Doesn't that hurt you to see the people who loved the one who died now hurting? Jesus Christ faced the same situation. Where was I? 23. Jesus said unto him, thy brother shall rise again. Now this is a revelation specific to this circumstance. Lazarus wasn't going to stay dead now, but rise again, actually a few verses later. But isn't this the same hope we have today? That when Christians die, that we have the hope of them rising again. Now it's a little different. They're not going to rise again now unless God raises them from the dead currently. But in general, they will rise again and we'll see them again. So you see, it's a similar circumstance where Jesus Christ responds with the word of God. This is how we can face circumstances when people die. If somebody needs comfort, if a loved one dies, this is our response. Comfort them with the words that you'll see him again. Jesus Christ is coming back and they'll be raised from the dead. Kind of neat. And then, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's got to hurt. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept, verse 35. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Jesus Christ loved Lazarus, and Lazarus had just died. Jesus Christ knew he was going to rise from the dead, still hurt. Jesus Christ was comforting the people around Lazarus' death, and they responded in a negative way. That hurt. Jesus Christ wept. Jesus Christ was facing a very trying circumstance relating to sickness and death, and Jesus Christ felt it. Jesus Christ went through it. Jesus Christ wept. Now, my point was, is I wanted to show that Jesus Christ went through these things, but, you know, I think it would do the Bible a disservice if we didn't read the ending of this story. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. You see, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. God had promised Jesus Christ, Lazarus is going to rise again. Jesus Christ declared it. Now Jesus Christ says, Lazarus, come forth, and it happens. God has also promised us the return of Christ. When things like this happen, we have God's word that God will absolutely back up. Jesus Christ went through the same circumstances that we go through, yet he overcame them because he looked to God. He overcame them because he believed God. He overcame them because God's word is powerful, and because to respond with the powerful word of God is to prove that God works, to prove that God honors his word. This is how Jesus Christ faced the circumstances of life, and this is what we can use as our model. Well, Lazarus was a close friend. What about a death in the family? I think this one's pretty interesting. Let's turn to John 19. You could say, well, friends are close, but family's closer. I would agree with that, I think. John 19. So This is not totally obvious, but it's pretty obvious once you hear it explained. It says in verse 25, this is when Jesus Christ is being crucified and he's about to die. This is what he says. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into her own home. Now, how I want to explain this is that if Joseph, Jesus Christ's earthly father, was alive, Jesus Christ would not have needed to assign the care of Mary, being the oldest son, who he would have been in charge of Mary's well-being at this point, with the death of his earthly father, Joseph. He needed to assign her care to somebody else, to the disciple whom he loved. Interestingly enough, the Bible calls Lazarus the disciple whom he loves, as we just read. But Jesus Christ needed to take care of Mary because Joseph, his earthly father, had already died. The Bible doesn't record when he died, but between the time when Jesus Christ is 12 up until this point, at some point Jesus Christ went through that circumstance. Jesus Christ went through the circumstance where his mother's husband, Joseph, died, where his earthly father, one who he probably worked with, one who he was probably close with, one who took care of him, died. Jesus Christ went through that circumstance. Jesus Christ went through a death in the family. Jesus Christ, as Hebrews tells us, faces the temptations like we do, yet he did it without sin. Jesus Christ always had the answer. Now, putting things together, Jesus Christ responded with God's word. Jesus Christ responded because God's word is the answer. John chapter 19, oh, we're there. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, maybe it's not just death. Maybe it's friends who hurt you. Maybe it's people who betray you. Maybe it's somebody who you put your trust in abuses your trust. Does this ever happen? Have you ever had a friend betray you? Have you ever told somebody something and then they turn around and use it against you? Have you ever been close to somebody and that just ends up being hurtful to you in the end? Well, Jesus Christ in Matthew 26 experiences this. Verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him, Jesus Christ, unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray Jesus Christ. See, Judas wasn't just the outcast disciple who followed him around and, oh, Judas is tagging along again. Judas was one of the 12 of whom Jesus Christ chose. Judas Iscariot was an important figure in their ministry. He was in charge of the money. It doesn't talk very much about what he did, but he would have been around Christ a lot. Jesus Christ would have put a lot of trust in Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot sells him out. Sells him out for 30 pieces of silver. Not even gold, just some silver. You know, so Judas Iscariot, a close friend, a close disciple, a close apostle of Jesus Christ, sells him out. Have you ever gone through that? Have you ever faced a circumstance like that? We're not going to take the time, but Jesus Christ knows it too. It's not a shock to him. He finds out, this is my friend who betrayed me. Well, Peter, his closest apostle, also denies him. Same chapter, verse 69, it says, Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And Peter said, Yeah, I was. He was a great guy, wasn't he? He's standing up for God now, and he's doing a killer job, and he's been healing people and delivering people, and look what a great man I'm associated with. No. Verse 70, it says, But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. You see, Peter was potentially Jesus Christ's closest earthly associate. He was his closest apostle, very potentially. And even at Jesus Christ's time of most desperate need, where he could use a friend, he's getting tortured at this point, Peter, for his own sake, denies Christ. He doesn't say what a great guy Christ was. He doesn't say, look how he stands on God's word. But he turns his back on him. He denies him, and if we read on, he denies him three times here. So, yeah, have you ever had personal problems with your friends? Have you ever been close, worked with somebody, and they turned their back on you? Jesus Christ went through the same thing. It's been around the Easter season lately, and we learned about the crucifixion of Christ, the sufferings that he went through, the mockery that he faced. Jesus Christ didn't have it easy. The devil threw everything he could at him. The devil put him through the worst kind of torture possible. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was humiliated. But Jesus Christ faced all of that, faced all the circumstances of life, and overcame them. And a result of that is recorded in Hebrews chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Verse 9, "Now that he," Jesus Christ, "ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Now Jesus Christ, 40 days before he ascended into heaven, was at the lowest possible point a human being could get. He was dead. He was buried. He was in the ground. He was done, according to mankind's standards. He was done. The lowest of the possible lows, dead and buried. Jesus Christ was that low. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 10. "He that descended," Jesus Christ that descended, "is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill," or fulfill, "all things." Jesus Christ was low, he was descended, he was dead and buried, but God didn't leave him there. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and 40 days later ascended far above the heavens. He ascended up to be on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ has faced the lowest extreme of human circumstance and has been elevated higher than any person yet since. Jesus Christ has seen the two extremes of humankind and everything in between. Jesus Christ has seen the whole of the human experience, yet without sin. He faced it all. He faced our circumstances, even though he didn't see rush hour traffic. He faced the circumstances that we go through, the same emotional distress, the same hurt of a loved one or a close one hurting, of a death in the family. Jesus Christ has seen death himself, yet he's also seen God fulfill his word and raise him to the right hand of God. The two extremes, everything in between. But ladies and gentlemen, this is our complete Savior. This is our Lord, Jesus Christ. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 again. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens." Now this word "into" is the Greek word for "through." The word for "ascended through the heavens." Not only is he made it up there, but he got through. Again, the highest of the high to ever live, Jesus Christ. "Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." This word "feeling" is to suffer with someone else because of a common experience. He feels it. He knows what we go through. Jesus Christ can be touched with the common experiences that we have. You know, the trials of life, the tribulations, Jesus Christ went through it. The two extremes and everything in between, Jesus Christ has seen it and overcome. He gets it. He feels what we feel. He knows what we've gone through. He's seen it himself. Then that's our high priest. That's who we go to get to God. That's the one who mediates God and us, brings us together with God. He understands God's side because he proved his word perfectly. He understands our side because he went through it. He went through it all. And that's who we go to get to God. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He did it perfectly. Then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, we can go boldly to God because of Jesus Christ. We can go boldly to God when we need help through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ understands that we need help. Jesus Christ understands that God is the answer and he will get us there. That's how we can go boldly to God. Jesus Christ knows. Jesus Christ has felt it. Jesus Christ has been there. And Jesus Christ understands us. We don't need to shy away because we feel like we fall short. We can draw close to God because Jesus Christ is the one who brings us there. Jesus Christ is the one who has accomplished it for us. Now, Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer because he understands. Jesus Christ is where we go to get to God. And I thought it'd be nice to conclude by looking at a record in the Gospels of somebody who went to find help in their time of need. Somebody who needed deliverance and went to Christ. Let's look in Mark chapter 5. The great truth in the Bible is that Christ is the answer. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, if Jesus is the answer, what's the question? I like that. I thought that was pretty clever. Because there is no question. Christ is the answer to all questions. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to see that Christ is the answer, and it's something we choose. It's something that we each personally choose, our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, a couple things we're going to look at here is this woman had an issue of blood. It had hurt her life for many years. She had suffered many things. Now you could imagine the physical part of it, I'm sure, that you have a physical ailment of any kind that lingers for 12 years, it's got to hurt. It's got to just wake up one day and just say, this again. This has been going on for many hundreds of days, and now it continues. You could see the distress there. Now there's another side to this, which I had explained to me recently, I thought was very interesting. Let's look back at Leviticus for a second. It's important to note that in the Gospels, they were still under the law of Moses. And there was, interestingly enough, laws pertaining to people with issues of blood. In Leviticus chapter 15, towards the beginning of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Sometimes I do that for myself so I know where to go and we don't get hung up on me trying to flip my Bible around. Verse 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in the flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the when? Even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, and shall be, and wash himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed, or on anything whatsoever she sitteth, when he toucheth it, it shall be unclean until the even. Verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond this time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be what? Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, and the uncleanness of her separation, And whosoever, verse 27, and whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Now, you can see that this woman, for 12 years, had had this issue of blood. It probably hurt her physically. She probably had emotional distress because of her ailment, and then also because of the culture that she was in. If she touched somebody, guess what? They were unclean. They had to wash themselves, and they had to separate for a day. If she sat on anything, then they couldn't sit there either. If her bed was unclean, they couldn't go to her bed. The people around her would suffer because she was unclean because of this issue of blood. Now, let's go back to the Gospel of Mark. Maybe the audacity of this woman will strike you a little more. Mark chapter 5, again in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and had nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of who? Came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, you could see that this is a little more audacious than just quick touch and then gone. She just made the Savior. She just made the only begotten Son of God, the one who this whole press was following, unclean. She just touched him in the issue of her uncleanness, as it says in Leviticus, and made Jesus Christ unclean. Now she's in a press. You know, there's a lot of people around. Maybe she snuck it in. Maybe nobody noticed. Verse 28. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Again, this is our complete Savior. Jesus Christ, and believing in Christ is the way to healing. Here, this is physical healing. Maybe there's other kinds of healings that you need. Maybe you have a mental anguish. Jesus Christ is the answer. Maybe there's something that's been plaguing you for many years. When I was however old, I did this, and it's haunted me. You know who's the answer? Jesus Christ. Believing in him is the answer. And believing and acting out upon it is the answer in life. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Oh, crap. This unclean woman who just made Christ unclean, maybe thought she got away with it, he just turns and said, who touched me? You know, what is she going through now? Verse 31. And the disciples said unto him, trying to help, I think, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Oh, thanks, disciples. Thanks for your sarcasm. I needed that. I don't have enough to do, and I got to put up with you guys, mouthing off. Verse 32. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and you can, these words might hold a little more punch now. She just made Jesus Christ unclean, and he knows it. And he's looking at her. And she, knowing what's done in her, comes before him, fearing and trembling. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, you just made me unclean. Do you know how big of an inconvenience this is? I had stuff to do today. Guess what I can't do now? I'm unclean now. My clothes need washing. Are you going to do this? No, because you'll just make them unclean again. So I'm out to go clean my clothes. And also, I'm unclean until the even. Thanks a bunch. Haven't you ever read Leviticus? Is that what our Savior does when we need help? Is that what our Savior says to us when we come in time of need? No. Let's see. Verse 34. And he, Jesus, said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. You see, this is our Savior. This is what our Savior does. This is what our Savior understands. He understands the human condition because he went through it. And when we go boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, we don't receive the condemning accusations of, well, you're not good enough. Look at the inconvenience you're putting on me. Jesus Christ, here, now, with the whole stigma of the law, with all of the things behind this woman touching him, says, go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now, some of us might have physical ailments. Jesus Christ is the answer. Go to him. Some of us might have mental anguish. Jesus Christ is the answer. Go to him. Some of us might have need of salvation from this world. You might need a new start, a new life. Jesus Christ is the answer. Go to him. He's not the rejecting Savior that looks down on us because I went through it and I was perfect. Why can't you? Jesus Christ went through it and understands us. So we can go boldly to God through our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he gets it. And he's already proved that he gets it, understands, and is waiting with open arms. Come to me. Come and find peace, ye sinners, in time of need. Come to me. See, that's Jesus Christ. That's our complete Savior. So what we're going to do is I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if you guys have, close your eyes with me. If you have anything that you need to give, now's a good time. Give it to Christ. Give it to God through Christ. Come boldly and find help in your time of need. God, we're very thankful tonight, or this morning, for Jesus Christ and all he's done. I thank you for his complete work. I thank you for how he's made us whole when we go to you through him, God. I pray that we can have a blessed week. I pray that we can remember Christ, that we can bring our problems to you through him, and come boldly, God, because our high priest understands. So I pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.